Andrew, yeah, we're waiting to see Andrew. Brother Paul mentioned Andrew, the Missick's new baby boy. What is he, like 3 weeks now? Father, bless Andrew. Bless Christian Lore. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the joy of the newborn in their family would just overwhelm them and bless them. And Lord, may when the day come when we get to see him, God, I just pray that the love in that moment, Lord God, would just be powerful and moving for each and every one of us, Lord. Touch them all. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to look at Judges chapter 3. Judges is Old Testament. You got Deuteronomy, you got Joshua, you got Judges. Now, most times when you talk about the judge, might cause a little fear in some, right? Uh-oh. Got to see the judge. But this particular judge, the book of Judges, very good for us. We can learn a lot from Judges. How many know that? You can learn a lot from Judges. So Judges chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Go to verse 11. So we're going to have a 7-11 sermon this morning. I've been on vacation for a week, can you tell? No, we didn't find any 7-11s. Verse 7, then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, and this is not the story I want. Now let's read it anyway. Hold on, let me look at Joshua chapter 3. Okay, I'm just going to trust it. Judges chapter 7. Oh, that's what the problem is. I'm reading Judges chapter 7. Thank you. You can tell I've been on vacation for a week, right? Yeah. It's in my notes, too. Well, that's going to make it way better, I'm sure. Yeah, this is what I want. It's been quite a vacation. I turned my mind off. It's not quite on yet. All right, Judges chapter 3, verse 7. Thank you. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of that king there from Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served that king 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Now, I found that to be interesting, talking about Caleb's younger brother. If you know who Caleb is one of those, one of two men who was willing to go into the land of Canaan the first time, 40 years prior than they did, but he was a man of great faith. And so this is his younger brother, and God raises him up to deliver the people of Israel. Verse 10 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered that particular king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed over that king. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Now, aren't you glad that I'm one of those guys that I'm not going to worry about the pronunciation of that king? I'm going to get it all wrong. I'm not all that concerned about that particular king, but what I am concerned about is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Caleb's younger brother, Othniel. And he did awesome things. And I want to talk about the Spirit of the Lord coming on us in a few minutes, but first I want to look at verses 7 and 8, where it says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs." And what that's talking about is they served other gods. "Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of that king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served him 8 years. And the first thing that I want to point out is the idea that when we forget about God and we do evil things, he will punish us. Do you know that? How many know somebody, or maybe you yourselves in your lives, there was a time where you served the Lord, you were following God, you were trusting in him, but then you just kind of, things kind of just fell away. You forgot about God, and then you find yourselves in a little bit of trouble. It's important, and time after time after time, we can read throughout the whole Old Testament, when Israel, when they were walking with God, things were good. And when they were not walking with God, he punished them. Now, that's not to say that they didn't have wars, and they didn't have issues to deal with, and they didn't have struggles to go through, and they had to put their faith in God to get through all of those things. But the bottom line is, when we flat out forget about God, and we go off on our own way, we're going to have some issues. The Lord delivered them into the hand of that king of Mesopotamia. And so sometimes we have to look at our own lives and say, and ask this question, the stuff that's going on, why am I being so persecuted? Why is it that I'm having such a hard time? Well, did God deliver you into that because of you have forgotten him? It's a question we should ask ourselves. It says when we forget about God and do evil things, he will punish us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And so he's not punishing us because he's mad and he's angry and all that. No, he punishes us because he loves us. If you're a parent, you understand the idea of punishing a child when they do something wrong. It's not because you just want to beat on the child. It's not because you just want to, you know, put that child down. It's because you want to teach that child something. Most oftentimes, it's what we want to teach them as a parent is that I know what's right and you need to obey me. Huh? Because if you keep going in the direction that you're going, you're going to destroy yourself. Anybody like punishment? Nope. And so we need to remember the Lord our God. We need to walk in his ways. Now, verse 9 says, "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer." He raised up a deliverer. The answer to our distresses in life are always found in God. Period. If we are in distress, no matter what, no matter why, the answer to our distresses are found in God. Psalms 107 repeatedly says, I preached a message in this a few weeks ago, but repeatedly says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And that's what happened here in this story. I'm curious if the psalmist had this particular story in mind when he wrote that particular psalm. Verse 9 says that when they cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer. Is there anybody who needs a deliverer today? Yeah. What will it cause God to send a deliverer? Your humbled and broken heart calling out to God, crying out to the Lord in our trouble, he would deliver you. I want you to encourage yourselves in the Lord this morning. Can you do that? Can you say, God will deliver me? God will deliver me. And why will God deliver me? Because I call out on his name. Not because I deserve it, not because I've done the right thing, but because I finally realized that I need to turn my heart to God and call on him. and he will deliver you. Verse 10 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Caleb's younger brother, Othniel. It says, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war. And the Lord delivered that king of Mesopotamia into his hand. Let me just say something to you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord needs to be our power source for life. What are you leaning on? What are you drawing on for the life that you live? Is it the Spirit of the Lord? And if it is, we should have hope. We should have joy. We should have faith and trust. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy never came by the will of man. Is there anybody here that by your own personal will you can make anything really change in your life? I mean, really. We try, don't we? We try by our own will to do the right things. We try by our own will to make stuff happen. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but a couple weeks ago I spent some time at a friend's house working on this just beautiful, gorgeous house. It's almost like a lodge, you know, like a resort lodge. Well, you know what? It's my will to live in a place like that. Yeah, how's that working out for me? Bible says, ask God for your daily bread. What's that mean? What you need. Be content with what you have. That's what the Bible says. I praise God that I trust Him and I can be content with what I have. Because if I keep trying to fight by my own will to have things that I don't necessarily need, I'm just beaten against the wall. But when I'm moved by the Holy Spirit, that's a whole different way of living. We can live according to our own will, or we can live according to the will of God. And we can be moved either by our own desires, or we can be moved by God's Spirit. And let me tell you something. When you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you move. When the Holy Spirit directs you and moves you, it's powerful. It's life-changing. I want to talk about a word this morning. And that word is inspiration. Oh, I spelled it wrong. Told you, I've been on vacation for a week. That's still... Inspiration. You guys are never going to forget that word. Inspiration. Wow. You know, the sad thing of it is, on my computer... I'm pretty sure there was a red line under that word telling me that I need to check the spelling, and I didn't even see that. So, I was really inspired to go on vacation, and I'm still there. Inspiration. Inspiration. I want to talk about inspiration. The story in Judges talks about the inspiration that came on Caleb's younger brother, where he stood up and he was inspired to judge Israel and to go to war on their behalf. He was moved by God. He was inspired by God. And so inspiration is a word that I want to talk about this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. Now the word inspiration, if you look for it in the Bible, you're going to have to look in the King James Version. There are a couple versions, translations that also use the word inspiration, but only in the King James do you find that word even twice. Most other translations, you will only find that word one time. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Bible was given to men by God. Somebody's walking about in his day, and the Holy Spirit inspired somebody and said, write this down. And that's how we got the Bible. In Job chapter 32, verse 8, there's a young man who steps up to give his opinion to Job and Job's friends about what's going on. And what he says there, he says, but there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. It's the inspiration. I've often asked this question, where does new thoughts come from? Where do new ideas come from? How do you get to know something that you were never taught? How is it that every now and again you have this revelation? It's like, oh, wow, that's what it is. It's because of inspiration from God. The word inspiration, see if I spelled it right this time. Yeah, I spelled it right there. There's a definition that you can find in American dictionaries. The process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. But inspiration is something that stimulates you to think or to say or to do something. Inspiration is a moving force. Webster-Merriam's dictionary puts it like this, but Webster kind of leaned on the divine side of inspiration. Their definition is a divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify him or her to receive and communicate sacred revelation. And then the second part of that definition, the action or power of moving the intellect or emotions, the act of influencing or suggesting opinions, and then secondly, the act of drawing in, specifically the drawing of air into the lungs. That means God breathed. Now, the reason why the word inspiration isn't in all of translations, many translations translate that particular word from the Hebrew or the Greek into meaning the breath of God. In other words, all Scripture was given by, it was God breathed. God breathed the word into them and they spoke it and they wrote it down. Personally, I don't necessarily believe that that's a proper translation, because breathing, or God exhaling, that's what they call expire. There's a reason why doctors even still use the word inspire and expire. When they say somebody expired, it means they've taken their last breath. The breath has come out of them. But inspire means they have breathed in. And so really what the Bible's saying is that men had breathed in what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking, and then they wrote it down and gave us the Scripture. But the bottom line is this, they were inspired by God. I think the King James got it right. And so inspiration has a few different definitions that are very similar. And I give it my own definition this morning, and I want you to see this. Inspiration is a powerful force that drives our emotions and our actions. That's what inspiration really is. People can be inspired in many ways. Inspired to think many thoughts. Inspired to do many things. Inspiration is very powerful. Everything we do is because of influence of the inspirational forces that we're surrounded with. Think about that for a moment. For some reason, you were inspired to get out of bed this morning, get dressed, praise God, and come to church. Something inspired you to do that. I believe that's an inspiration of God. And I say, thank God that we're all dressed. Remember going over to the church on Milton Street and testimony after testimony. I thank God I didn't wake up naked and crazy. Remember that? Well, maybe they're not naked, but inspiration. It's a force that has influence on us. It's important for us to perceive. Think about this. It's important for us to perceive what the source of inspiration is that drives us to do what we do, to say what we say, and to be who we be. What is the source of inspiration for you? Think about it for a moment. What is the thing that drives you? What is the thing that inspires you? You are who you are today because of the inspirational influences that have been around you. When I was a young man, 14, 15 years old, I was inspired to go work for a logger. Many of you know Russ Teed. I was inspired to do that. Why? Because I was getting to that age where I was going to want a car. I needed a job, and there was a job. So I was inspired. I started working for this logger. This logger had a cousin who I happened to go to school with, and I was inspired to date her. Why? Because she was very pretty, and I fell in love with her. That girl inspired me to go to church. Why? Because in order to date her, I had to go to church. She was my inspiration to go to church. After she broke up with me because I didn't know Jesus, I was inspired to get to know Jesus. After I got to know Jesus, I was inspired to love him, to serve him. He inspired me to lead worship. I started leading worship. He inspired me to preach. I started preaching. He inspired me to become the pastor of this church. And that's why I'm the pastor of this church, because God inspired me. And so my whole life is built on inspiration. Your life is built on inspiration. You are the person you are. Look at what this says. The answer to why we have become the person we are is because of the influence of what we have chosen to be inspired by. Think about that for a moment. You are who you are because you chose to be inspired by the things that you chose to be inspired by. For some of us, we've been inspired by very good and positive things. For others, maybe we've been inspired by some things that were not so good and some things that were negative. But we are who we are because we have chosen to be inspired by either this or by that. When I hear that kind of music, it inspires me to dance. It inspires joy in my heart. And so think about it just for a moment. What is the source of influence that is inspiring you today? Can you choose another source if you need to? Because all around us, there are sources of inspiration, things that inspire good things and things that inspire bad things. My question is, what is the Spirit of the Lord inspiring you to do? I guarantee God is working to inspire your heart for something. If you are inspired by the kingdom of God, you will live according to the kingdom of God. If you are inspired by the things of the world, you will live according to the things of the world. Boy, it's so simple when you put it in words and terms that cut and dry, isn't it? Do we want to be pleasers of God or do we want to be pleasers of man? Choose what your inspiration will be. You can't have both. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God and mammon, mammon being riches and money, the things of the world. We have to choose what's going to inspire our lives, the things of the world or God. And what you choose to allow to inspire your heart will be the driving force in your life that will cause you to do and to be whoever it is that you are going to be. In the Old Testament, Joshua put it like this. He said, if it seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua put, he drew a line in the sand. He said, my inspiration is going to be from God. It's not going to be the gods of the Amorites in the land that we live in. It's not going to be the gods of my family, the other gods that they served. My inspiration is going to be the one and true God. My family, your family, they want to inspire us in certain ways, don't they? Our neighbors, the community that we live in, they want to inspire us in certain ways, don't they? But God wants to inspire us to serve Him and to serve Him alone. Jesus followed the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, in that particular little portion of Scripture, we can see here that Jesus actually gets to choose. He chose to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so he goes out into the desert because that's where the Holy Spirit led him. But while he was out there, he had the opportunity because he was tempted 40 days of the devil. What's that mean? It means the devil tried to inspire him. Did it work? No. Why? Because Jesus set his heart on the inspiration of God, his Father. Now you might say, yeah, but he's Jesus. He was the Son of God. And my answer to that is, so are you, a son or daughter of God, if you choose so to be inspired by Him. Jesus could have fallen to that temptation and that inspiration that the devil was trying to inspire him with and gone and did what the devil wanted him to do. And if he had done that, he would have fell way short of what God had inspired him to do. And the story would have a way different ending, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be saved. We would have to die for our own sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who took upon himself our sin and crucified it on the cross, paying our sin debt. If Jesus took the inspiration of the devil and worshiped the devil, he never would have gone to the cross, and we never would have had our sins put on that cross, and therefore we would never have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't be given that eternal life that He promised us through faith in Jesus Christ. Thinking about that, we all know that the devil has temptation for us. The devil tries to inspire us in many ways. And we need to be as Joshua. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be inspired by God and God alone. And all of these inspirations that the devil is trying to influence me with, I am no longer going to bow to them. Because I don't want to fall short. God has a purpose and a plan for my life. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And if you will follow the inspiration that God has for you, you will succeed. You will become who God wants you to become. You will do what God wants you to do. You will be the person that God wants you to be. How many know that the best possible person you can be is the one that Jesus Christ inspires? Do you know that? Again, Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What's that mean? It means God is inspiring me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus lived His life under the inspiration of God, his Father, and the Holy Spirit in his life. The apostles understood the importance of the inspiration from God. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, there was a situation. Some of the widows were complaining. They weren't getting the right amount of food or whatever the case may be. And so they go to the apostles, and the apostles said, you know what, we got to come up with some guys to take care of this need. And what they did in verse 3, he said, therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. You know what they wanted? They wanted people that were inspired by God to serve. And that's who they sought. The apostles understood, just like Jesus understood, the importance of being full of the Holy Ghost, of the importance of a life inspired by God. You can read the Old Testament. Somebody give me a name, any name from the Old Testament. Think of a name. Daniel was inspired by God. Jeremiah was inspired by God. Abraham was inspired by God. Oh, David. Yeah, him too. Lord, give me ears to hear. Pick a name, any name that you can think of in the Old Testament. Go back and read the story about them, and you will see where they were inspired by God to do awesome and great things. Read, if you want, Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter. Every name in there is somebody who was inspired by God to do something. And not only did Jesus understand this principle, not only did the apostles and all of the Old Testament prophets, great men and women of God, but Jesus promises us his helper and inspiration. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What is Jesus saying? I'm going to give you something that's going to give you inspiration in this life. And that something is the Holy Spirit. Jesus called him a comforter, a helper, one who will abide with you. How many need new inspiration just to get up every day? Right? He says that the Holy Spirit will abide with you and be in you. There's no greater force of inspiration that I could encourage you to latch on to than the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants each and every one of us to have. And if you will follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will do great and awesome things for the kingdom of God. Now, I told you my story, but you got a story too. I was inspired to be a pastor. What has God inspired you to be? Did he inspire you to be a janitor? Then be a janitor. Did he inspire you to be a mechanic? Then be a mechanic. Did he inspire you to deliver pizzas? Then deliver pizzas. But if that inspiration to do whatever it is that you're doing isn't coming from God, then listen and pray and seek God's face and find out what inspiration the Holy Spirit has for you and do that. And I'm not putting, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not looking light even at the pizza delivery guy, because that's a need. God needs good. How many know God needs good pizza delivery guys, right? Yeah. Amen. God needs good pizza delivery guys and good real estate agents and good college students and Oh, thank you. And so he will inspire us. And he will inspire you. Let's take one look at one more. I'm going to close with this portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The whole purpose of this message this morning is to hopefully cause you to think about the inspirational influences in your life and to examine what it is that is inspiring you to be the person you are today. And is that inspiration of God or not of God? If it is of God, I can tell you this, you will have peace that passes understanding. You will have hope beyond hope. You will have comfort in your life. Even, and it doesn't matter whether you live, you know, your life is pillows and roses or whether it's war after war after war. If you are living by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will survive all of that and you will flourish in God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 1, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," let me just rephrase that for a moment. "Concerning the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." In other words, what's that saying? I know that you were a normal human being carried away by the inspiration of the things of the world, however you were led. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God," in other words, no one inspired by God, "calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Except what? Except by the inspiration of God. "There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit." What's that saying? There's all kinds of jobs, but the same inspiration. "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." What's that saying? It's the same God who inspires every one of us. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." What's that saying? The inspiration of the Spirit of God is given to each and every one of us. For what? For the profit of all. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. I almost said spearmints. Did you catch that? That wasn't spearmint I was chewing earlier. It was peppermint. To another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Verse 11 says there, "But the same inspiration works in all, distributing to each one individually as he wills." The same Spirit, the Spirit of God, which hopefully we are all living by the inspiration of that Spirit, in order that we can be the people of God that He's called us to be. The church needs each and every one of those gifts that it talks about: knowledge, wisdom, healings, miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation. The church needs all of these things for the profit of all. But the question is, what has God inspired me to do? And am I living and walking according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in my life versus the inspiration of what the devil wants me to do? That's the question. Sounds like the Lord has inspired the children downstairs pretty well. I don't know if you caught that, but I hear them rambling up down there. Hallelujah. God bless them and the workers. But I want you to think about that today. Let me go back to a slide. What I do with my thing. There it is. Back up the train here a little bit. The answer to why we have become the person that we are. I am the person that I am. You are the person that you are because of the influence of what we have chosen to be inspired by in this life. Stand with me this morning and we'll pray close. I want you to know something. God is drawing your heart. How do I know that? Because you're here. You would not have come here if God wasn't drawing your heart to Him, to Himself. When I first stepped into a church, I didn't know that's why I was there. I thought I was there because I wanted the girl. But the truth is, it was God that was drawing me the whole time. Why? Because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Can you begin by faith to believe, you know what, God's got a plan for me? Hallelujah. We got all kinds of music going on today. Will you start believing by faith, whether you're following Him or not, that today would be the day that you would come to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for you? And God right now is working to inspire you to be something that He wants you to be. To be the best you that you could possibly be. And the only way for you to be the best you could possibly be is if you follow the inspiration that God has put in your life. And so we need to examine, what have we allowed to inspire us to be who we are today? What influence have we chosen to follow? And make a decision today to follow the inspiration of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit that changes hearts and lives, that sets men free, that forgives us of sin, that turns us into saints, forgiven of our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, You are drawing each and every one of us. You are inspiring each and every one of us. Help us, Lord God, to answer Your inspiration. That we can live according to the inspiration of Your kingdom and no longer the inspiration of this world. God, forgive us if we have become something that we should not be because we've allowed the source of inspiration in our life to be something of this world. Lord, forgive us and help us to see who it is we can be when we follow Your inspiration. Father, each person in this place today needs to come to a place where we really examine who we are and why we are and what it is that inspires us to be just that. God, I thank You that You are far more powerful than we. And that if we would surrender to You, that power would come and mold us and shape us and use us. That it would be a source of life, a source of inspiration and love that would carry us into that day when we do rise again. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've yet to call upon Jesus to forgive you of your sins and choose to follow Him, then make today that day. Let the inspiration of God inspire you to do just that, to make a choice that today will be the day that I start to follow Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to know everything about the Bible in an instant. It doesn't mean you're going to do everything right, you know, from now on. But all that means is you're going to make a choice to learn of Jesus Christ and to follow Him and to trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins in order that you can have everlasting life that only comes through the power and the inspiration of God and the Spirit of God. I encourage you to make that choice today. But I also encourage you, if you've been following the Lord for years and years and years, check your source of inspiration. Make sure that the decisions you make, the things you say, the things you do, the places you go, the person that you are, is influenced by the inspiration of God. Father, bless each one here this morning. Whether today is the first day we choose to serve you, or whether we've been doing it for years and years, Lord, may the inspiration of the Holy Spirit move us in a powerful way towards you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.